The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, famed producer Rachel Polk joins us in the studio. We do a board game review for Spyfall and answer the questions, what should your child really be reading?
I'm famous! I'm just the kind who will break your heart.
Alrighty, welcome to Super Skull. It's your weekly New Comic Day audio digest from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996, recorded in partnership and inside the Ann Arbor District Library.
Ann Arbor District Library, we are inside you!
The Freedom Shrine. I'm your host, Nick Wybar, joined by Rachel Polk.
Hey!
And Marcus Schwemma.
I'm so happy we rapped at the beginning of this episode.
Will anybody ever hear it?
Yes, they will.
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah, they will.
We'll
that was great.
Out. Hey, that's the voice of Rachel Polk that you hear.
Oh, hi.
Rachel Polk is here.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Good. This is your debut on the podcast.
Yeah, I am so excited to finally be able to do something more than just listen to you guys four times in a row.
I'm so sorry that you have to listen to us four times in a row.
It's okay.
I'm not.
It's really funny sometimes.
What a pleasure.
It's really funny. Like, when you guys rap, I love that.
You think that it's a pleasure or any sort of privilege to listen to us?
No, because you and I, in the early days of this podcast, were the ones who had to edit this down.
Yeah.
And it was Rachel Polk's job is at times thankless, but so important.
Well, at least I am not editing off of an iPhone.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
What is the, you know what the people really want to hear? It's about podcast editing technique.
Right. I'm sure.
What happens when you get the audio? So we all sit around this table and we bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And we say a lot of stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's not funny.
Mm-mm.
Some of it's offensive and like libelous.
It's very true.
And then we say, hey, Rachel Polk, we're going to go fuck off and get a beer.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much that's how it goes every week.
And then what do you do?
Well, aside from crying a little bit, mm-hmm. I take this heap of audio mm-hmm. and turn it into something by pretty much cutting out all the offensive and terrible bits. And slapping it all together with a little bit of glue.
And you have to listen to it a lot?
I do, yeah. So there's the initial listen through, which is why I sit in for every episode rather than just like wandering off and saying, hey, send it to me when you're done, because that makes it easier. And then I listen to it while editing it. Like if I come across something that's weird, if I come across something that is too loud, too soft, straight up offensive, or just, you know, generally not okay, and I have to take it out. Then I go through it doing that, and then I will listen to it again to make sure that it all works
sure.
and it all flows.
No joke. If there's anybody that likes listening to this podcast at all, it's because of what Rachel is
Aww.
Doing.
So true.
We can't thank you enough. It's
that
like
that makes me happy.
It's so. I mean, we show up and we do. It takes a nominal amount of work. We have to read comics and then talk about it.
Yeah.
We
no.
get like a
oh
half-assed
no, my
plan
job
together.
Is reading comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, the work aspect of it is what you do, yeah. Rachel, and we really, really appreciate
well,
it.
We get a
that
play.
Makes me happy.
And you make us sound somewhat smart.
It's really fun when like somebody flubs a line and then they say it multiple times to like sliver out like the good bits and
oh,
then like
really?
Stick it all together and make it actually a sentence.
You're a puzzle master.
I can make you say whatever I want you to say.
Oh my God,
if I tried hard enough.
Terrifying.
But I am kind of lazy sometimes.
That's actually gonna that's gonna fester in my mind. All right, let's move on and talk about some comic books. Oh, actually, before we talk about comic books, we have something really important we have to talk about.
It's true.
Yeah, I would definitely call it important.
Marcus was right about something.
What up?
I wish that I had those noisemakers that we had for the 50th
Woo!
Episode.
Marcus?
Theory crafting complete.
I stand in the light of your rightness. I stand in the shadow of my wrongness. And I salute you.
Nick, tell the people what I was right about.
I'm happy to tell the people
Thank
what you.
You
were right about. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, still a terrible name.
And it's still a terrible name. Agreed. You're right about that too, buddy.
Oh, ooh, now I'm getting blushy.
You're on fire.
Yeah.
This now, was 4 weeks ago if somebody actually wants to go back and listen. It's
well,
issue 55.
Let's go right now and
yeah.
listen. Let's have a listen. Anyway, we're talking about all new, all different.
That's what we're doing.
So I'm excited about Black Panther by one of my favorite creators, TBD.
I love TBD.
I know, he's so good. His early stuff is really, really strong.
He's a little bit better than TBA.
Yeah.
You know?
You think?
I picked TBD over TBA.
Apples and oranges, dude.
Well, to some.
Yeah. But they don't know who's doing Black Panther yet. That was a stupid little bit about how there is no.
I think they're waiting for a real zinger. They're going to announce a big zinger on that one.
Yeah, you and I just look at the world so differently.
You think?
I think they just don't have their shit together and they don't know who's doing
it. Oh, man, no. I think that they got a big announcement.
You think that they're sitting on it because it's awesome?
Yeah, for sure.
They're sitting on it because it's awesome.
Yeah. I wonder.
The thing I just said.
No, look, like Black Panther's got a movie coming out. He's going to be in the new Civil War movie. They're gearing up. It's a prime time to launch a brand new Black Panther series, and I think they're sitting on a killer creative team.
I think they don't have the first fucking clue how to approach a Black Panther book right now.
They're doing... Why would you say that? I totally disagree.
Well, we'll see. I want it. I'm sure that it'll be good, but I think that it's... I think you can't screw it up.
Yep.
You can't.
I think it's been a long year. You want to do a big... you want to do a huge character for Marvel, a black superhero. You don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And I think they got to find the exact right team for it. And I don't think they know who that is yet.
I think you're right. I think it's the same with the movie, too. You better get the right director.
Yep.
For that movie.
Absolutely.
So you're in a position to do something pretty historic, pretty awesome, Marvel. Yep. Tread smartly, and you will be rewarded, I think.
Well, Marcus, good points. All good points.
Aw, look at past Marcus.
So what was announced this week is that... there is a new writer for Black Panther that's been announced, and it's the perfect writer for Black Panther, Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Great name, great author, Black Panther.
He's an amazing writer. He just recently put out a book called Between the World and Me. It's a letter to his son about being black in America, essentially. He wrote a really amazing piece for The Atlantic last year about slave reparations and other things.
He writes a lot for The Atlantic. He's like a correspondent for them.
He writes for all sorts of people.
Yeah.
He did a really great review of Hawkeye. Did you guys catch this?
So this is the thing, is like, not only is he a really great writer, he's a huge comic fanboy.
Yeah.
So he's into the medium. And Marvel has just scooped him right up.
You really, like, couldn't have found somebody better to write Black Panther. I am more excited about this announcement and about, like, this creative team announcement than anything else that's coming out of all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, it's almost like Marvel wants to make a ton of money, and thus they put a real...
Sort of, but it's not like this dude is a household name. Like, he should be, because he's brilliant.
The
but
hype on this book is going to be so big. Good Morning America, all that stuff. It's all going
to
be on this
so
book.
So if there's a way to, like, start, make you know, if for it to cross over into the mainstream, because this dude has, like, so much respect outside of the world of comics, just in, like, as a writer and in academia, like, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Man, it's such good news.
His name is going to drag in a lot of people that wouldn't otherwise read comics.
You're absolutely
right. And
that
is awesome.
Yeah. So I'm so excited about it. And I'm also so excited about you being right about something.
Man, so this is the only thing I've ever been right about, is what you're implying.
No. But this is, because you can hear my stupid voice on that thing, like how sure I was that Marvel had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were pretty confident.
And I thought, man, what a naive child Marcus is what I thought in my mind.
Look, I may be an ever prudent optimist, but sometimes companies like Marvel are optimists with me.
I just love so much that it paid off.
Yeah, it's great.
And you were totally right.
I was talking to Curtis, and he was saying the order numbers for this book are, he's ordering an insane amount of this book.
Yeah.
In anticipation for how many people are just gonna be like going nuts for it. I can't wait. I'm right there with you. It's like probably my most anticipated book right now.
But I don't know what fiction this dude has. Everything that I've read from this guy has been nonfiction and essays and that kind of thing. So I'm really interested. He's got a great sense of just language. So I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure he's got the chops for it.
I put my trust in him.
Yeah.
For anyway, sure.
So that's Ta-Nehisi Coates is writing Black Panther and Marcus being right all at the same time. I texted you the second I read that news.
Yeah.
I was like, where's my phone?
Yeah, I was hanging out with some people and I like got the text and did some of the air fist pumping.
Yeah.
And my friends just looked at me because they had no context for why I was like in my living room like, yeah, air fist pump. But I was pretty excited not only because Black Panther is getting a really great author.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's nice to be right on the old Super Skull.
Well, good on you.
Thanks. Can't wait to kick your ass with my Drax bet as well. My Drax the Destroyer.
Well, let's just we'll do have a little update on our many various bets.
That's fair.
I hope you enjoyed this one time being right, my friend.
Oh, get ready for the train. The train is coming.
But I'm glad we didn't bet on that, on the Black Panther.
Cool.
Should we get into some comics?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. I was going to ask you what your big pick for the week was.
Well, I thought we would start with Rachel Polk, who's not usually on the podcast.
That's a great idea. Aww. That's a great idea.
Rachel, what was, I don't know if you've ever heard the podcast, Rachel, but every week we each pick a comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we suggest that this is something that you consider as a listener that they consider this week.
Wait, Nick. Is this a comic book podcast?
Mostly it's a comic book podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then.
Did you have a pick this week?
I guess so. I guess you could call it that. So my big pick was Step Aside Pops, which is by Kate Beaton, who I absolutely love. She is hilarious in every way, shape, and form.
What's the name of that book again? I feel like you could put some inflection in that title.
Step Aside Pops.
There was, yeah, what I was hoping
there
for.
We go. So Kate Beaton did Hark, a Vagrant. And it's a collection of mini strips, and it came out in 2011.
Oh,
which,
wow, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, and she's known across the internet for just doing little strips, like little short three panels. And Step Aside Pops is a fantastic collection that mostly focuses on historical figures and how they would react in hilarious situation that would never happen. And it opens up with some little things about Chopin, which just makes me super happy. It goes from, you know, from musicians to Caesar, and like how he reacts before he dies.
To Lois Lane.
Yeah, Lois Lane and Spider-Man. And it's a full collection of hilarious.
This is all from a webcomic. It's all Hark, a Vagrant is a webcomic, and this is like further selections from it, I think.
And she's super, super popular on like on Tumblr and just the internet in general. And she had The Princess and the Pony come out just a couple months ago, right? Yeah, it was in June.
That sounds about right.
Which just blew up. Like, it did really, really, really well. And so I'm really, really happy to see more content from her in print. Like,
she's hilarious.
Yeah, like she's really good about updating constantly, but like seeing it in print is one thing. I like having things physically.
Yeah, she usually does. It'll be three or four three panel strips, and they're usually centered around the theme. Like she did the Chopin, and who's the other guy that he's always? It doesn't matter, but the two of them for maybe six or seven strips.
List.
And then it's Caesar for, you know, three or four strips. And then it's a whole bit on Lois Lane for a while. And it's super. Have you read any of her stuff, Marcus?
Not a drop of it.
Oh, man.
Please read this
page. I think you'd like it.
You do?
Yeah, there's a whole bit about...
Please read these two pages.
There's a whole bit about Spider-Man being bitten by a brown recluse spider. And he just, like, wants to find a crevice to hide in. And
oh, boy. A crevice.
Yeah,
Spider-Man, get out of my pants.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. That's Step Aside Pops. Who's printing that book? Who's publishing that book? Drawn and Quarterly.
Drawn and Quarterly. That's what D&Q would stand for.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful hardcover, $19.95. Good price.
Yes. Yeah.
For a book that pretty.
Yeah, this actually came out last week after we recorded.
Yeah,
so
came
it's
out
but
on
it's brand new.
Thursday?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kate Beaton, Step Aside Pops.
Oh man.
Excellent. Good pick, Rachel.
Oh, thanks.
Marcus.
So I'm picking a manga this week. It doesn't happen very often, but I am hooked. Hook, line, and sinker into Tokyo Ghoul. Tokyo Ghoul, which is put out by Viz Media, is a story about Japan in which, in modern times, there are two types of people who live in this country. There are regular humans, like myself and you, Nick. And then there are ghouls, people who look like humans, but must feed off human flesh to live. And it's very much in this style of Japanese horror manga.
Mm-hmm.
I am just loving it. The first three volumes are out right now, and I haven't been able to get my hands on volume 2 and volume 3 today until today because it's got such hot heat behind it. The people are going crazy for it.
It does. What does it have behind it?
It's got such hot heat behind it. I haven't been able to get my hands on it. But, man, I plowed through volume 2 and volume 3, and it is just getting better and better. I do not read many horror comics. It's not a genre that I dive into very often.
You're easily spooked.
I'm easily spooked.
You're like a skittish horse.
One might say that.
Yeah.
But Tokyo Ghoul has a really nice mix of, like, the main character is the perfect amount of pathetic that it's very easy to sympathize with him. And this idea of these creatures living among us, but also being, they're sympathetic towards humans in a way too. They just don't treat us like cattle. When I read volume one, I was worried that they were kind of going for the vampire trope, which is that like vampires live amongst us and just feed upon us like cattle. Like I've read that, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. That's a little stale. But what they do with the ghouls and their relationship with humanity is really, really interesting to me.
Are they sexy ghouls?
Some are, some are not.
Oh, it depends on the ghoul.
Yeah, much like the real world.
Much like man.
They're much like man. They are both good and bad-looking people. Mm-hmm. So the main character, though, is he's a rare case. He gets into a fight with a ghoul as a human, and they both get gravely injured. They take him to the hospital with this ghoul body. They don't know that she's a ghoul and transplant some of her organs into him, so he's half ghoul.
So he's half ghoul now.
He's half ghoul. Yes, super interesting. Really fun. I manga for me isn't always my favorite area to play around in, but this Tokyo Ghoul, like the story's really fresh. The characters are super compelling, and I'm just really, really into it right now.
I have several questions for you.
I'm ready.
What other manga have you enjoyed?
So I grew up reading a manga called Ranma One Half. That was like my first big.
Yeah.
And then I was really big into the Tokyo Pop stuff in high school. So Fruits Basket being probably the biggest manga that I was into. Lately, I have been in deep, deep love with Lone Wolf and Cub, thanks to you and Curtis. Very, very much in love with it. But I have a hard time, like the Dragon Ball series. I've tried to read that a number of times. I just have a very hard time with it.
Why do you think that is?
I find the goofiness to be very distracting, and it doesn't really allow me to immerse very well. That being said, Ranma One Half is about a son and dad who, when they touch water, one turns into a panda and one turns into a girl. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. For some reason, like...
Depends on the goofy.
Yeah. But Tokyo Ghoul, not much goofy in here. Just a really solid horror story. What other questions did you have for me?
Well, Rachel, what are you have any manga
faves? I
have
a question for you.
Yes.
Did you ever read Yatsuba?
I did not read Yatsuba.
You should read Yatsuba.
I'll add it to the
I
list.
Want you to try that.
Can I also say that traditionally the lack of color in manga sometimes...
You got a problem with black and white books.
I don't have a problem with it. There are a lot of black and white books out there that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I just... A lot of the manga, when I pick it up, I just find myself thinking like, man, I really wish this book was in color.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
Either way, Tokyo Ghoul. It's wonderful.
It seems to be having a moment right now.
It's absolutely Tokyo having Ghoul. A moment.
I remember when Attack on Titan like really first started to hit critical mass early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just one of those we were just getting asked about. It's not quite to the level of Attack on Titan by any means, but it reminds me of that. Like when all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, everybody just, and I think it's because the anime is fairly fresh.
Yeah.
It's like it started coming out earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's why I originally picked up volume one, is like a customer was in the shop and we were just talking about manga and she was like, man, you should really read Tokyo Ghoul because it's going to be the next Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And I've read it, and it has got some hype, but right now what I'm hearing is a bunch of people are coming in saying, like, hey, One Punch Man is going to be the next Attack on
Which
Titan.
Which we finally got.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. I think a lot of manga are chasing that Attack on Titan train, but I've read Attack on Titan, and I liked it, but I would dare say at this point I'm enjoying Tokyo Ghoul a bit more.
How many volumes into Tokyo Ghoul are you?
Three. Three are out.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And you're liking it more than Attack on Titan.
I am. Attack on Titan, for me, I like it. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Attack on Titan. I've read a good chunk of it. But Attack on Titan, for me, the world building just kind of fell a little flat at some point.
Oh, so, okay.
Yep. Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 1, 2, and 3 out now. Grab them while you can.
Excellent. I'm hoping... Sorry, were you going to say something, Rachel?
I was just going to say another manga that you should look at is Azumanga Daioh, which is about a group of girls who are all in high school.
What's with you and recommending manga for me that's about girls in high school?
You love, dude. You love stuff about high schoolers. Come on, act like you don't.
I think it's hilarious. It's like one of my favorite things that I know that you'll love is there's a girl who just really, really loves cats.
I do love
and
cats.
And she just really wants every cat ever to love her, and none of them will do it. Like as soon as she walks up or is in the same vicinity as a cat, it just walks away. In complete spite.
I do live with three cats and love them all very much.
And a puppy?
And a puppy. Yep. And I'm living with a puppy at the moment.
So Rachel nailed it, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'd probably like it.
Excellent. If that wasn't enough manga talk for you, I'm sincerely hoping to have Charlie Tucker
Oh, yes, please.
The manager of the Grand Rapids shop and a good buddy on the podcast really soon. We have a great listener question about manga, and hopefully we can dive into it a little bit more. It's a huge, rich vein of comics that we don't often talk about on the podcast.
For sure.
The readers also sometimes are kind of segmented.
Yeah, and that's something I would like. I want to encourage people, if you've never picked up a manga book before, please do.
There's some amazing stuff, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear people come in the shop all the time and say, like, I don't read one or the other, but...
It's silly.
It's all just good comics.
Yeah.
They're all comics.
Yeah.
I don't care for people who try to put them in two separate categories, because they are all comics.
Yeah, and to be sure, there are, you know, there's things that manga does. You can trace a through line through a lot of manga.
Yeah.
But you could do that with a lot of superhero comics and with, you know, I guess with anything. But
the anime for this is out and have not watched any of it.
I've started the first episode like 4 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you a manga person over an anime person? Do you prefer to read it rather than watch it?
I prefer to read manga over watch it because I have a hard time with the subtitles.
That's
I'm not making myself very sound fair. Very intelligent right now.
You're getting the third degree though right now about your manga habits.
Yeah, I have a hard time with anime when it's subtitle based because I'm usually not just watching television. I'm usually like watching television and doing something else. And with subtitles, it forces you to just be like 100% focused on the anime you're watching.
That was the long way around Marcus's pick, Tokyo Ghoul 1, 2, and 3.
Out now.
Reavailable, reprinted. Is that why? Did it just become available again after not being around
Correct.
For a while?
Yeah. Yep. Excellent. And each one of these ones are $12.99. You get a lot of book for $12 or $13 bucks. So.
Very, very cool. Yeah. What's my pick, you say? Well, I'll tell you. I was just about to tell you. It's Archie, number 3.
I love this.
It's a good book.
It's a good book.
It is so good.
I'm really, really liking it. It's about high schoolers. this continues like... There's no way to like pitch this without sounding like a doofus.
I disagree. I think I have faith in you.
Well,
give me the pitch. Give me the Nick Wybar hard sell.
Oh man, Archie and Betty really seem to be quits this time.
Yeah.
But a new girl just moved to town. Her name's Veronica, and she seems dreamy.
Does she?
Does she? Does that say more about me?
Can we say Jughead? Probably best friend ever.
Oh my god.
He seems to be a very good friend in this.
He seems. The high school drama
seems a little bit like a maybe like he's a little bit of a busybody too. He's kind of getting up getting up in their business.
He wants to know what's up.
Yeah,
he's nosy.
Man, I'm loving this book. Like I started the Archie hype train. I got on the Archie hype train when it was announced that Mark Waid and Fiona Staples were the creative team on this.
Yeah,
it has surpassed my wildest expectations.
It's better than I thought it was going to be.
I care about what's going on in the life of Archie right now.
Yeah, and that's not something I thought I would ever care. So I have no fondness or nostalgia for things based in high school. This is like I do not care. So the fact that like I'm just loving the ride of these stupid high schoolers' problems. Because it's just the writing is so snappy and it's so stupid and funny. And like he knows exactly what he's referencing. He knows exactly how to make fun of it. He knows just like I didn't know Mark Waid was such a funny writer is the other thing.
They're all fantastic characters. They're all so fleshed out.
I never thought of Archie characters as fleshed out. I thought of them as the opposite of fleshed out.
Can we talk about Fiona Staples' art on this?
She's
killing it. There's a scene where poor Veronica, who is from the high to-do classes of society, is forced to eat a sloppy Joe, public schooling sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
And it ends with dire results for her outfit.
And it was a snappy outfit. I liked it.
Fiona Staples,
I wish I could be as well-dressed as her.
Art kills it.
Me too.
She kills it in this book.
Yeah, she totally... and it's just mundane, regular-ass stuff.
Yeah.
But it's kind of slapsticky and... It's very, very good. Archie number 3. Not a book that I thought that I would ever care about.
And I would imagine that most comic shops, if they ordered correctly, have number 1, 2 in stock.
Yeah.
Come on in. Join the Archie train.
It's really good. And it's just a nice break from like, there's so many books that I'm reading that are just about the end of everything.
Right.
And everything is like stuffed with import and drama and some of it's really great, but it's nice to just read something that's ready to... It's just having a good time for the sake of having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Come on in. Subscribe to this bad boy. You're not going to want to miss out.
Yeah. So that's Martha. So let's get speaking of that, let's talk about our little bet update.
Let's do that.
So many bets.
Yeah. So we only have two outstanding bets. One of them is directly related to Archie.
It is. I made the bet.
Yes.
That by issue 6.
Yeah. I don't know why I give you such long terms on these bets. I'm going to have to start locking that down.
Archie would be in the top 5 subscriptions at Vault of Midnight Ann Arbor.
That's right.
Number 1 subscription right now, Saga.
Yeah, how many people are subscribed to Saga?
195.
That's our Ann Arbor shop.
That's our Ann Arbor shop. Yep. 195 people subscribed to Saga. Archie.
Yeah.
Reporting in.
Here we go.
43 people. Now, listeners, you may think like, oh, ha, 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 it's pretty far behind Saga. 43 people is no joke. That's a no joke subscription number.
Hey, it's a solid subscription.
It's not close to the top 5.
It's not within, it's not, you cannot see the top 5 from where you know, Archie is. And I only say that because you made a bet.
I'm going to do some number crunching. In all seriousness, though, like, there have been some people who have come into the shop. And been like, oh, I'm not subscribing to Archie because I don't want you to win this
because
bet.
They heard it on the podcast. Okay, I've only heard like 2 or 3 people
right.
say that.
But so, still,
here is.
But
the,
don't do that. Let me make this
out
case
on good
for
comics.
You.
Comics. Okay.
Yeah, it's not worth it because as much you know, it's all we love it when Marcus loses a bet. Don't get me wrong. Nobody loves it more than me when Marcus loses a bet, but. This is a really good book. Don't cheat yourself.
Yeah.
Those people are picking it up off the shelf.
Oh, though, they're totally buying it. Yeah.
Now, Nick, I have a question.
Yeah.
So what does Marcus have to do if he loses this bet?
Oh, you know, I don't remember.
I
remember. Yeah. You have to unbag my comics for me as I read them.
Yep.
For
a month?
I think it's a month.
I think it might be a month.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
I don't remember my end.
Yeah.
To be honest, it doesn't matter. I just want to win this. But I also want to point out that I think that getting books like Archie with a creative team like Mark Waid and Fiona Staples on subscriptions and getting people to buy it. Not only is it good because I would win a bet, but like in all seriousness, it's good to show the industry that there can be books with expensive creative teams that are like this, that are different, that aren't superhero books, that aren't doom and gloom. It's I'm really happy to see that Archie by Archie Comics is doing well because I want more stuff like this. I love that I can have kids and adults alike who are just looking for something fun and light. I'm so happy that there's a comic like this with this creative team in the market today. It's super important for the growth of comic readership as a whole.
Yeah, this book deserves to be in our top 5 for subscriptions. It deserves to be, you know, read by absolutely everybody.
Yeah. The amount of people that I get like that will pass by it and kind of scoff is sad.
And I don't blame them.
No. I mean, like, you don't go into a comic shop specifically looking for Archie.
No.
Like, sometimes you do if, like, it was something that you grew up on and, like, you know, you want to see if there's anything new, if there's any kind of collection that you can have so you can, like, give it to your kid because, like, this is what I had. But nobody anymore comes in. Like, people come in looking for Batman.
Yeah.
That's what they want. People come in looking for the superheroes. And nobody thinks twice about Archie until we specifically say, hey, read this Archie.
Yeah, Archie
it's
sold
awesome.
Solely on the back of its familiarity for as long as I've worked in comics. Like that's why anybody bought Archie's like, oh, I read this when I was a kid. It does not matter as to its quality and it, like the people that were making it knew that.
Yeah.
Because I would dip in every once in a while over the past 10 years and I would just be like, hey, Archie, what's going on with Archie? And I could not believe that people wrote it. I could not believe that somebody sat down at a typewriter to write something so trite and like predictable and bad. And this is taking all of that and everything that I know about Archie and it's just completely twisting it into something really, really cool. So subscribe to it, pick it up, read it. It deserves to be read.
Agreed.
That wasn't the only bet we have going, though.
Oh, no, there's another one, and this one I am so confident in.
The other bet we have going is that Drax, which is written by the eminent CM Punk.
Yep, CM Punk.
Who apparently is a wrestler.
A WWE superstar.
And your superstar, yes. Retired?
I have no idea. I've watched such little wrestling in my life.
Yeah.
And my bet is that Drax, in the first 3 issues, will at some time get into a organized fight, whether it be in a ring, octagon, cage, something. He will be, Drax himself will be in some form of fight.
Yeah, he's gonna wrestle.
Can I tell you where?
Because CM Punk's a wrestler, and you're betting that he's gonna wrestle.
Yeah,
and he actually is retired.
They're gonna realize that a lot of wrestling fans are gonna come to this comic for CM Punk, and they have Drax, who is a fighter, and they're gonna want to deliver. Can I? Just real quick, a little insight on my Black Panther and Drax bets, because they stem from the same place in my mind.
Oh, okay. You got a little bit of a
I think
a
Marvel
cred now.
Wants and likes to make money.
Uh-huh.
And I think that by putting on a really great author on Black Panther and by making Drax wrestle with a wrestling-based author is going to provide them with more money because they're a business.
Don't you think CM Punk in his mind wants...
He
retired. I don't know anything about CM Punk.
Are you
talking shit about CM Punk
right now? No, I think CM Punk wants to do what Marvel wants to do, and that's make money.
No, CM Punk is his own man.
Bullshit.
From what I know about CM
Punk.
CM Punk
wants to take his wrestling fan base and move them to his comic books so more people buy it so he makes more money.
Hmm. He wants to establish himself...
Oh, come the fuck on.
...as a man of thought.
Oh, Jesus.
He doesn't want to get pigeonholed. You can't put CM Punk in a corner, Marcus. That's,
his whole life has been him in a corner. A physical jumping off a corner, but his whole life has been him getting pushed into a corner. That's what he did as a profession.
There's a little wrestling gag.
A little wrestling
gag.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are our bets.
Oh God.
And we'll keep you apprised. Like anybody cares, except for me. I care so much.
Oh, I can't wait to win.
Lord.
The terms of that bet were: if Marcus loses, he has to write a book report on CM Punk,
which I think he should do anyway.
Yeah. And I think I have to call him champion or something for a week.
I can't wait for you to call me champion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A month? No chance. I would never have agreed to that. Well, that's our. Those are our big picks this week, and that's an update on our bets. Who cares? You guys want to move into the poll box?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
What else came out this week? Three comics. enough.
One of my favorite all ages series is getting continued.
Rachel Polk is so mad that she doesn't get to talk about that. She's our
you
guest,
don't
Marcus.
Get it.
Hand it over.
Oh no, you can
no,
talk
take
about
it.
It.
Take it. You're the guest. No. Go on, Ms.
Okay.
Polk.
Well, so over the summer we had some people here from Kids Read Comics, and one of those people was Zach Giolongo. And his new comic, The Stratford Zoo Romeo and Juliet, came out today. And it's great. I know Marcus really wanted to do this, but you get mouse guard. So we have in the shop, he and Ian Lendler did The Stratford Zoo Presents Macbeth. And this is the story about a zoo of animals that comes to life at night when all the people leave, of course, and they perform Shakespeare plays. And... this Romeo and Juliet is performed by a family of bears who are Juliet's family, and it makes me really happy because not only is it adorable, but it's a great read, and I can say that as a full-grown adult. I really enjoyed it.
A good book for really young readers.
It is a good book for really young readers. It's if you're reading to a child, it's got a larger text format, so it's actually like really easy to have like a kid with you that and they can like see everything. If a kid is learning to read, this is another really good thing.
Is the art as beautiful in this one as it was in the last one?
Oh man, it's gorgeous.
That dude can draw.
Yeah, man. It also I hold this book near and dear to my heart a little bit because I helped with the coloring.
Oh geez, that's what's going
did
on.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
You're plugging your own book on the Super Skull.
I'll take it out.
No, leave it. Fucking leave
That's
it.
Awesome. I didn't know that you did coloring on that.
Yeah. Well, I did the flatting on it.
Is your name in that book?
It is not. I didn't. I don't know why. Zach.
Yikes.
No. I don't really care because it was a really, really fun project
That's
to get
so
to work
cool.
on. Yeah.
I didn't know that you worked
Zach
on that
Zach is a fantastic artist.
Did you work on the last one?
I did not.
Okay.
Nope. So this, I really
what
like.
What is flatting?
Oh boy. We might be here a while. So flatting is basically putting the base colors into an entire page. So I could look at you and say your hair is brown and your shirt is dark blue.
All right, let's not go any further than that. I'm trying to maintain my mystique, my radio mystique.
So if there was a drawing of you, I would just put in a dark blue color. There's no shading. There's no three-dimensional aspect to it. It's just a color that's putting in the flats.
Okay.
And so I had to put all those in for all of these pages for everything that's in there. And Zach is a phenomenal artist, and he is very detailed. He likes a lot of detail in his work. But yeah.
That's Stratford Zoo.
Cool.
What else came out?
Well, I didn't know we were allowed to pitch our own stuff. I made banana bread today, 29 or 2 for 50.
Shut up.
That's your poll box pick is your banana bread?
Yeah, that's right.
You should have brought some.
So one of my favorite series I talk about all the time is Mouse Guard. And out this week is Mouse Guard, the role-playing game, Volume 2, combining two of my favorite things, Mouse Guard and role-playing games.
Nerd.
Huge nerd, yeah. Mouse Guard is a wonderfully rich world that lends itself to the role-playing game mechanic. And let me tell you what, I own Volume 1 of this role-playing game, and it did have some faults, but it looks like they've really smoothed a lot of it out for Volume 2.
You ever run a game?
I ran one. And I like about it is that the scale of everything is very humorous. Because
you're tiny.
Yeah, so like a log, it can be like a really big game mechanic.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable the time I ran a game. I'd love to run another one with this Volume 2.
Okay.
Buy this. Role-playing game fans, D&D nerds like myself, mix it up a little bit. Try a new system. This role-playing game, completely contained in one book.
Is it simpler than a standard, like your D&D?
Yes, it's a D6 system, so you only need six-sided die, which is great. Yes, I would say it's simpler. It's more based in role-playing than combat, but it still has wonderful combat mechanics. Whole role-playing game in one book.
Yeah.
That's glorious in itself.
You need the first volume to play? Or
you do not. This is the updated version.
Oh, version 2.
One and done. Ready? Buy this book, read it, and you're ready to go.
Excellent.
Truly wonderful.
Marcus, if you were playing that, what would you be?
Well, I would be a mouse. I would be a member of the Mouse Guard.
Well, yeah. I take it you'd be a fighter.
Yeah, fighter, sword, and board, probably.
Yeah, that's how he rolls.
That's how I roll, fighter, sword, and board.
Itty bitty shield.
Nick, what do you got for us?
The last issue of Sandman Overture comes out today.
Thank God.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 30th of September. The first issue of Sandman Overture came out in December of 2013. So we're pushing 2 years, just shy of 2 years for 6 issues to come out. But man, you give it a flip through and you see why. It's
so
staggeringly
pretty.
Beautiful. It's J.H. Williams murdering it. And it's, I'll be honest with you, it took 2 years for this book to come out, and I've lost the thread of it. I'm going to have to reread the whole thing from the beginning.
Yeah.
But as I'm reading Neil Gaiman's Miracle Man stuff, I've heard it pronounced both ways.
I actually went down the rabbit hole on this a couple days ago and went on his website. And
it is Gaiman?
One of his FAQs is, how do you pronounce your last name? It's Gaiman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. And reading the Miracle Man stuff by him has made me realize how good he is at writing comics, and it's making me reappreciate him all over again. So that's Sandman Overture number 6, concluding this whole series out today.
Awesome. Well, also, Rasputin.
Ooh.
Number 9.
Ooh, that was a good
comes out. Nick made a comment earlier today about this. The last two issues were maybe a little phoned in.
Well, the art was maybe a little...
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
This issue number 9 kicks the most butt. I'm right back in it. I'm right back excited. I'm thrilled Rasputin's coming out.
Are you saying Rasputin's back?
It's back, baby. It is better than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out Rasputin number 9. It's a great, great goddamn comic.
Riley Rossmo is... That was a really good... I feel like
incredible.
We should record that catchphrase you just said. It's a great, great goddamn comic.
It is.
I feel like we should save that one. Riley Rossmo is great. Grecian, Alex Grecian, I think his name is fantastic. And Riley Rossmo is really good at doing fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Like big, crazy scenes. The last couple issues are a lot of like people hanging out in hotel rooms and at political rallies and stuff. And it was interesting, and it was kind of like just moving the plot forward a little bit. It seemed like kind of perfunctory, but this is like a big folktale, crazy, magic ridden. It was very, very good.
Agreed.
And the art just sung. So I'm back. I'm back on the Rasputin train. I never really left. Rachel, what else you got?
Captain America White issue number 2 came out. And it feels like Captain America White number 1 just came out.
It really did. Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Like, this is weird. But I liked this one better than the first one. It's fantastic. It's all about the relationship of Bucky and Captain, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Did they kiss?
So close. There's a moment where Cap almost drowns.
Oh, so he needs CPR.
Did you not read this yet?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, man.
I can't wait.
So close. But no, a certain friend of theirs makes an appearance at the end of this issue, and it's fantastic. He comes in with a bang.
Excellent.
Yeah. Read it.
From Under Mountains, number one. Some of the art in this book by Churchland is really wonderful.
Yeah.
Some of the art I could do without. But overall, if you're into like weird fantasy, medieval fantasy, you're going to get something out of this book.
I was intrigued by it. It suffers from a little bit of the same thing that Riley Rossmo. Like when it's just two dudes just standing there talking, I'm not really buying it. But then as soon as it starts to get weird, it becomes really captivating art-wise.
Totally agree.
No, the intro completely caught me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really cool.
I was intrigued. I'll read the next one. Mm-hmm. It's got a really good title.
Yeah.
From Under Mountains.
Under Mountains.
Yeah, and I made a comment earlier, and I stand by it. The horse on the cover has an appropriate amount of armor on it.
It's a very pretty cover.
Not too much, goodness. Not too little.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
Do it. Fucking do it, man.
All right. Kaiju
Let's
Max.
Get into it.
Kaiju Max number 6. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this, because speaking of horses, I spent a lot of time on my high horse last week talking about rap and comic books. So I'm going to keep this brief and say Kaiju Max is really great. It's a very, very good comic. If you haven't read it, it's about a maximum security prison island for kaiju monsters. It's by this dude, Xander Cannon. The art is very cartoony. It's very brightly colored. Xander Cannon did this book, Heck, a few years ago, which is phenomenal. But it's a weird sell, this book, because he uses the silly lookingness of it to get you in the door, and it seems like it's going to be a high concept kind of comedy thing. You know what I mean? There's a lot of weird nicknames, and there's all these different monsters from different kaiju monster tropes all on this island together. The prison guards are like essentially Power Rangers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
With the ability to grow. I'm sure there's a name for this, like for this type of dude in the kaiju universe. Okay, it sounds really silly, but it's very, very dark. There's like, it's a prison story, so there's drug abuse, there's gangs, there's abandoned children, there's a three-issue arc, like really seriously about rape. It's intense. It is not a comedy. It is not for kids, even though it really, really looks like it should be. And they are shedding readers as a result. I've read. Like, the letters in the back of, like, the past three issues have all been like, why did you do this? I thought this book was about something, and now I don't want to read this anymore. And it's just him really thoughtfully being like, yeah, this is, like, I'm trying to produce something that you weren't expecting, and, like, this, and he kind of unpacks a little bit and talks about what his approach to the book is. But, man, oh, man, it's worth reading because I guarantee you're not reading anything like it. But be ready for a very strange ride.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys aren't reading this?
I read 1 and 2.
I'm not up to date.
Did it do anything for you?
I liked it. It's just there's a lot of comics to read every week, and I will I'll dive back into it.
Yeah,
it's now that you're selling it so well,
it's worth it. It's just a tough one to get through.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And you don't expect like these cute little kaiju monsters to be so gut wrenching. But anyway, that's Kaiju Max. And that's our pull box. It was a light week.
Light week at the old shop.
Best American Comics of 2015, also released this week, we should point out, edited by Jonathan Latham.
And our cover of the week.
Oh, let's talk about our cover of the week. What do you got? What do we got, Marcus?
Cover of the week this week is Southern Bastards Hardcover Book 1 by Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. The Jasons are back. So,
Rachel, can I put you on the spot? Can you describe the cover of this book?
Oh, man, the cover of this book, we said this earlier off air that it looks like a yearbook in some ways. Yes and no. It also looks like a very lovely classic. It's a brown cover with a red spine that kind of leaks over about an inch. And there's just a lone tree. It's like a red silhouette of a tree. It's very, very elegant, even though it's very, very simple.
Yeah, it's in the bottom right corner, this tree is. And then it's just text in the middle with the creators and the name of the book. So the other covers of the week that we've chosen have usually been very ornate.
Yep.
Very, like, there's usually a lot going on with them, kind of a lot to unpack or kind of drink in. This is doing the opposite. It's just really simple and beautiful, yeah. and it gets the point across about the book without hammering anything home.
Yeah. There's power in simplicity.
And this is it.
And, yeah.
And this, and I just, I thought it was worth a pick because it's so different than what we normally see.
The spine is really cool, too.
The spine is,
like,
great.
It's so simple.
I love the Southern Bastards font. What font is that, do you think?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for that.
I don't know from fonts, but it's a good one.
Yeah, I'm getting a real 1970s yearbook vibe off of it, and I'm loving it.
Southern Bastards is also, if you're not reading Southern Bastards, then please get your shit together.
Yeah, and the cover itself has power because, like, we know the contents of the inside.
Yeah.
And I love that this just gives you no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's in this book when you open the cover if you've never read it before.
So Vertigo has been putting out these special edition hardcovers recently. And it's the same idea. It's like two volumes in one. And it's a little oversized and it's a hardcover. But that is a textbook case of how not to design a special edition hardcover. Because it looks like a big advertise. It's got the main character's face on the, like, takes up the entirety of the front of the book. It's, like, really big and splashy. It looks like an advertisement for a book, but if you are in for a hardcover special edition, you don't need to be sold the book again.
Yeah.
This Southern Bastards hardcover, like, I don't know what to make of this if I'm not already in the club. Like, it looks beautiful, but it's not, like, it's not trying to entice new readers. It's trying to call to old readers, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It's got a little bit of special material in the back.
I was going right for the special material. See what's up with the special
material. It has all of the recipes that they included at the back.
Does it?
Yeah.
In the back of a comic book.
And there's like 7 or 8 recipes.
Oh, yeah. And they're great.
I kind of wish that they had, like, thrown in a bunch of swear words in there. Just like...
into the recipe?
Yeah, make it a really, really intense recipe.
It was great.
That was our cover of the week. It's the Southern Bastards hardcover.
It's pretty.
It is pretty. I agree. Let's move on to our citizen question.
Okay.
Let's. Our citizen question this week comes from Nevada.
Great name.
Nevada? Nevada. Nevada asks, I have an almost 4-year-old little girl who loves reading. Part of our nightly routine is a story before bed. I am curious if you think it is too early to introduce something like Lumberjanes into our reading mix. The extent of my knowledge about Lumberjanes is that it's an all-ages comic. Would you recommend trying this or potentially other comics with her, or should I wait until she's a little bit older?
Great question, Nevada.
That was a good question. Thanks, Nevada.
Well, luckily for you, we love all-ages comics. I spend a lot of time reading them. Rachel Polk works in them.
I love comics.
Yeah, this is the right group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus and Rachel know a ton about this stuff, so I'm going to turn it over to you guys. What do you think? Well, so, first of all, the first part of the question is,
Lumberjanes.
Is Lumberjanes okay for a 4-year-old? Would you read, you know, Lumberjanes with a 4-year-old?
So I'll give my 2 cents, Rachel, and then feel free to chime in here. I think Lumberjanes is absolutely okay for a 4-year-old. I think there are a lot of messages inside of Lumberjanes that I think more 4-year-olds could go with. At the core of Lumberjanes, that book is trying to get across the message that different people from different parts of social circles can come together and with the power of friendship.
It's all about friendship.
Overcome anything. What a great message to instill to your 4-year-old.
Including sea monsters.
I will say that there are some monsters in this book.
Yeah.
And it can be a little wordy in certain sections. And maybe you might have to make some parts of it a little shorter for your 4-year-old.
Yeah, if there's anything that gives me pause, it's that. It's that it's got a lot of words.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of irony and a lot of kind of like sarcasm and subtext. Not that it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
But just that it might be a little, I just don't know if that's... But I don't know. I don't know shit about 4-year-olds.
I think at the core of this book, there's a great message there that a 4-year-old can latch on to. The art will carry you, will keep their attention. It's one of the best drawn books out right now.
Who draws it?
Well, it changes. So volume one is Brooke Allen,
mm-hmm.
But later on, Carolyn Nowak takes it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right though. A bunch of people have worked.
Yeah,
on it.
A bunch of people have worked on it. So Nevada, I'd say, introduce your kid to Lumberjanes. There's a ton of other stuff out there.
Yeah.
But I personally would recommend this to someone for a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you'll read a good comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Rachel? Is that okay for a 4-year-old?
I am in complete agreement. Like, anyone can pick up this book and read it. 4-year-old, I mean, there's going to be a ton of stuff that's lost on them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some parts that might be a bit scary, but I don't think they're, like, scary enough that you'll have to... like skip over that. It's not a I mean, they're five girls who are all at a camp together. It's not bloody. They punch stuff.
So there is some punching if you care about punching.
They'll thoroughly enjoy this comic, I think, especially with, like, it's a funny book.
Do you guys have any, is there anything, do you have one more pick that, if you're going to read with a super young reader,
yeah,
what would you suggest?
I'm going to go with Cleopatra in Space. Ooh. It's a really wonderful all-ages graphic novel. There's two volumes of it out. It's about young Cleopatra from ancient Egypt gets transported into the future and must do great tasks to protect her people or what's left of them in space. What I love about this book is that the main character, Cleopatra, she's super smart and she's super confident. And I think we could use more characters like that in our all ages literature. Cleopatra in Space, truly, truly, truly wonderful book for all ages.
What's the who wrote and who makes that book?
Mike Myhack, I believe is how he pronounces his last name.
Okay.
It's great. It's so, so good. And from Scholastic, so you know Scholastic's putting out stuff. It's pretty appropriate.
Yeah. I would have to go with anything by Ben Hatke, first of all. But Zeta's Space Girl is a fantastic series. It's about a young girl named Zeta and her friend Joseph. And in the first one, they find a odd red button and they decide to push it because, I mean, yeah, why not?
Sure.
And they unleash a bunch of alien monsters and they abduct her friend. And it's just a fantastic adventure book and series. And that's another one that you can easily read to your kid if they're not old enough to read it themselves. But Ben Hatke is a fantastic creator. He has done some awesome books. And we talked about Little Robot a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Calvin and Hobbes with a robot. It was my favorite thing that week.
Excellent.
Yeah. And there's a ton. My brain's racking right
Amulet.
Now. There's a ton of books we can go on and list. But come on in. Bring your kid into the comic shop.
Yeah.
We will find a good book for your child.
So there's two things when people come in looking for books for their kids that I'm always thinking about. The first of all is I want to turn that kid into a comic book reader for life. I'm less worried about scaring your kid because kids are a lot harder to scare than parents think that they are.
Right.
I'm more worried about boring your kid.
Yeah.
And getting a book that is going over their head so they stop caring about it. So that's why I want to get the right book on the right level so that they are like, they're staying with it the whole time.
And a lot of what I hear when parents come in with their kids and they're like, I don't know what to get my kid. I just want my kid to read. Like, I hear that a lot. I just want my kid to enjoy reading and to want to read more. Comics are perfect for that, especially for kids who are like super ADD. Like, there's artwork that holds them into it more than just the words.
Yeah, and you can kind of go back and forth and look at stuff in a different way as versus with a book where you have to, you know, it really does have to be done in an order. Yeah. And
there's so much value in rereading comics, and there are so many comics that it never ends.
Yep. The other thing that gets brought up a lot is what people want to come in and get their kids into comics is they say, what do you got? I want some Spider-Man from the 70s because that's what I read when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And now that's what my kid's going to read because that's going to get them into comics.
Bad move, parent.
Very bad move.
So my way to deter that from happening is that pacing in life for children these days is a lot different than the 70s. Kids are surrounded by ever-changing visual media all the time.
It's just the type of that stuff is reads so differently than you remember it reading.
Comics have been updated to appeal to the young masses of today.
Yeah.
Trust in the current comic creators, and they will rarely steer you wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that some kids are not going to really like old, retro, older comics.
We have
that's going to be the thing for some kids, for sure.
We have a young gentleman who comes into the shop. He's probably an early teenager, and that dude has read more historic comics than even I.
Yep.
He's just all about it. I'm going to give that kid a job someday.
Yep.
But for the most part, I really encourage parents to dive into some of the more recent comic books.
Any of the stuff that Marcus and Rachel have been talking about any day of the week over a Silver Age X-Men book will take you very far.
Yeah.
So.
And like as an adult, like don't think that all-age comics are just for kids. Like, that's why they're called all-age comics. Like, you can pick any of these up and just have fun.
Look, Mouse Guard, a book I was just talking about, my favorite comic book of all time in the all-ages section.
Yeah. That Space Dumplings book that I read recently, Craig Thompson, I'd put up with anything I've read
this year. Oh, I love
Space
Dumplings.
Yeah. But again, Space Dumplings, like, I don't know that I'd recommend that for a four-year-old. Not because it's inappropriate, right, but just because, like, I might be boring, which yeah. is worse
There's
than being
a lot there. Yeah. Because the only thing worse than, like, having a kid be bored is having a kid be turned off from comics.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's just tragic.
That's the nightmare scenario.
That's awful. Oh,
that makes me feel sick. Well, Nevada, I hope that answers your question. Thanks for sending it. Anybody can actually send a question to superskull@vaultofmidnight.com.
Yeah.
And, does Nevada get a hat? What do you
yep.
guys think?
Yep.
Rachel?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
yeah.
Screw it. You get a hat.
You get a hat.
Come on in. Come on by.
Hats are great.
And, yeah, keep the questions coming. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us fill up the sweet, yeah. sweet minutes, the sweet, sweet airtime.
Oh, God.
It's just so important.
It is.
Let's go into the board game corner.
No one puts board game in a corner.
Except Marcus. Marcus, what'd you play?
Well, myself and Rachel Polk both played Spyfall.
Oh, excellent.
It was awesome.
It was a wonderful game. This is a game that came out a couple months ago
mm-hmm.
And has been darn near impossible to get back in stock since it came out.
Yeah, we cannot keep it around.
But mm-hmm. a good friend of ours happened to have a copy, and at a little social gathering, we played it. And I am deeply, deeply in love with this game. Spyfall is a game where a group of people get together, and one person out of this group is the spy. Everyone else gets a location card, and they're all the same. It could be the amusement park.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way.
The movie theater. Arctic Research Center.
And a submarine.
There's a giant page that has all these locations. Mm-hmm. But everyone else is at this location, and the spy is not. And you ask each other questions like, what are you wearing? What's the temperature like outside? And they're trying to figure out the spy. Meanwhile, the spy is trying to figure out what location everyone is at. And if the spy stands up and says, I'm the spy, you guys are the Arctic Research Center, they win. But if everyone else, they can vote and say, you're the spy,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
they win, and you only have 8 minutes to yeah. play the whole thing.
It's a timed
out.
Game.
The does game every, can only go 8 minutes.
Does everybody just talk to each other freely?
No.
Oh, so on your turn, you can ask somebody
right.
a question.
And okay. then that person gets to ask another person.
Yeah.
But you want to ask questions to try to give away the spy, but you don't want to be like, hey, like, how cold is it outside? Do you see a bunch of snow and glaciers? Because then the spy is going to be like, hey, yeah. you're the it is a phenomenal yeah. game.
That sounds
really
good.
I think really
you'd really good.
Like it.
It's really fun. Yeah. I am working my butt off to get that game back in stock at Vault of Midnight.
Oh, that
oh,
sounds
it's so
like,
much fun. Yeah. And anyone could play this
yeah,
game.
Yeah, okay. It is an all-age game.
It's not super expensive. It comes in a great little contained box. And literally, we played one game and kind of goofed it up because we didn't understand. But after that, every 8 minutes, we were just playing game after game. It is an absolute blast.
8 minute game.
Yeah.
And there are so many locations that even if you play the same one twice, like, it's still super fun.
Right, because your answers yeah. could be totally
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's fun to be really sneaky, and mm-hmm. the spy has a really hard time figuring out where you are.
And let me
how often did the spy win versus everybody else?
I don't think they ever won.
That's not true. I was the spy twice.
Oh, no, and I won once.
You won once, and I won once. And, yeah, the spy can win, and, yeah. and did. Yeah.
The spy can win not just by, like, guessing the location and shouting it out, but also if, like, everybody votes on the wrong person, which is what happened multiple times, then the spy wins. But the spy does get to, you know, guess as to where you are.
This sounds infinitely more interesting than Cards Against Humanity.
It absolutely is. Let me say,
but scratching the same itch, like, yeah. very casual.
Thank you. It's in the same vein as Resistance.
Okay.
I find Resistance to get stale after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really great way to freshen up that type of lie-based party game. I had a blast.
Lie to your friends at a party. You're lying to them anyway.
Yeah.
About something.
Yeah. How's your life? Good.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Thanks. Yeah, Spyfall, I give it 9 out of 10 multi-purpose watches.
Yeah. And you can play with up to 8 people.
8?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Great game.
I think 6 is probably the sweet spot.
8 might get a little unwieldy.
Yeah, because okay. at that point. So once you start, like, having an assumption as to who you think the spy is, mm-hmm. you're just going to constantly be asking them questions. So at that point, if you got a lot of people, there are going to be some people who don't get to ask questions.
Right.
So.
Fantastic. That's Spyfall. We cannot yeah. keep it around. Every single time it came in, we're like, man, we got to get a copy of this so that we can check it out and see
yeah.
what we're selling.
Yeah.
And it evaporates.
It's great.
We should get a copy of that.
We should get a copy of that game.
Yeah. That wraps up our board game corner. And the end of the podcast, actually. That wraps up the whole thing. Thank you so much, you guys. Rachel, yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Of course. It was super fun. It's not like I have to deal with you guys all the time anyway.
Yeah, it was very pleasant. You were a great Curtis.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. We miss Curtis. I think he'll be back next week.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be back in town. And Rachel will still be here.
I'm always here.
Yeah, but let's have you on the podcast more.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Nick, your company was amicable as always.
It was what?
Amicable as always.
Did you say amicable?
Fuck.
Outstanding. I can't think of a better way to end another issue of Super Skull, the Vault of Midnight podcast. You can hear us every Wednesday wherever podcasts are found. Our music was created by A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by Philip Wong. And our producer and panel member this week was Rachel Polk.
Yay!
Make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. At SuperSkullShow is our handle. Check out our website, SuperSkullShow.com, and send us questions that we will answer with gusto. Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. This is Nick Wybar for Rachel Polk and Marcus Schwimmer wishing you good reading. Until next week.
Okay.
Alrighty, welcome to Super Skull, your weekly new comic day audio digest from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and podcasts and stuff.
Just
that worked out better than
that worked really, really well.